coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Well, that was the weirdest trip to the nail salon I've had in a long time. There was these girls beside me just talking really, really loud. I try not to listen to other people's conversation, but they were talking so loud it was like they wanted you to hear. So they live in a mobile home park, and they were talking about this family where there's a husband and a wife, and the wife passes away from like cancer, and the husband then marries the babysitter. It's later found that he was taking showers with his daughter when she was much too old. There's an uncle that's sleeping with his niece, a brother who is banging his dead brother's widow while having an affair with her sister and simultaneously knocking up a stripper. Except here's the kicker. This family didn't live in the mobile home park. They live at the White House. This is the first family they were talking about, the Bidens. And that's who's running our country.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for Tuesday, September 26, 2023. Go figure. Nail salon conversations. Don't you just love them? Huh. Isn't that something? Yeah. Take that. You communist individuals, take that. By the way, Eric the Tech, welcome. How are you today, sir?
I'm here.
Yeah. Did you like my proposed open? Did you see what I sent to you? My proposed open? Patrick Byrne?
Yes.
Yeah. Should we have gone with that instead?
You want to play that now?
Okay, yeah, we can. Folks, remove your children from the room. Remove your children. And if you're prudish, plug your ears. I don't know what else to say. This is Patrick Byrne on Open Spaces. By the way, this is an extremely, extremely important video conference he held regarding the a lawsuit by the Department of Justice, the money laundering lawsuit, ultimately against Eric Coomer, Dominion, and you'll have to watch the spaces. You'll have to watch the Spaces segment, perhaps, if we can go to like the 3-minute mark after this. He can explain it a little bit better. All of the voting machines corrupted Venezuela. He admits to engaging in five international felonies to get the evidence, but he's got the evidence. He has it all, they say. And again, Pat, look, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think, except when I looked at the indictments, okay, or the legal documents specifically, when I did a quick read through, I'm going to go back and read through them again. I have them downloaded. But this is U.S. versus a specific individual. But that specific individual is charged with essentially three money laundering crimes related to the electronic voting machines, bribes about the machines. It's pretty complex. But at one point, here's Patrick Byrne giving his wishes or expressing his, I'm going to lose a couple of stations. I know I'm going to lose a couple, but that's all right. Look, it is what it is, okay? This is his assessment of the Department of Justice and Merrick Garland. Take this for what it is. Please set your being offended aside, because you will be offended. I guarantee you, you're going to be offended. But put that aside for a moment and understand, if Patrick Byrne, and I do believe he has been and still is an asset of the, I'm going to say the CIA, but found, but look, there's a war inside the intelligence community. There's a war going on right now. He's on the good side, if you can call it that. He's on the good side, but he's trying to fix this country. So get past being offended and just listen to what he's got to say. Go ahead, and then let the emails rip. Go ahead.
For it. Anyone at this point who still is doing the dirty work for these droopy-eyed cunts like Merrick Garland, you're a droopy-eyed cunt. Fuck you. I love it. Anyone who keeps taking orders from these knuckleheads don't deserve to call themselves American. The intellectual fight is over. We won. Smartmatic is now understood to be able to rig elections, and the empire is collapsing. And I understand, no hard feelings for the people who didn't know who to believe until now, but anyone in the DOJ or the military who now continues the extra legal and extra constitutional imperatives that they are being driven on, you're doing so willingly for people that anyone with a room temperature IQ can now understand are part of hijacking the United States of America. It was all a lie that you can't use these machines to hijack an election, and the DOJ has just acknowledged it. Okay?
Okay, we can cut it right there. The link for the entire Spaces presentation will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. But again, look, I'm not going to make any apologies for his language. I didn't say it. I'm playing it because this is a very critical piece of evidence, and I use that word in the truest legal sense. So watch it, watch the entire video, and I've got an appointment here shortly, but as soon as I can, I will put up the PDF of the lawsuit at HagmanPI.com. Alternatively, you can click on that link at HagmanPI.com, and then follow down through the Twitter or the tweets or whatever they call them now, the messages, and find, I think, a link to the PDF. I believe it's there. I'm not sure how I found it. I might have gone through Tracers or through, Pacer. There's a data mining company called Tracer, but through Pacer, I might have found it that way. All right. With me, Randy Taylor, RT at HagmanPI.com. Randy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. And that was very critical what you displayed.
Yeah, I think so.
Acknowledging that the machines can be hacked, basically.
Yeah.
What that does is that knocks the fizz out of a whole lot of things that are being held against Trump right now.
Well,
they give him credibility for questioning the election. That absolutely gives him the credibility for questioning the election.
You know, I could have played any number of segments, but what he said there about now, since we have the proof, anyone now staying on that left side of the line, so to speak, it's on you now, baby, right? So
yeah,
I think
they're on the wrong side of history at this point.
Yeah, and I think that was the message. And again, despite the profanity, that was the message that needs to be conveyed. And yeah, sometimes I think profanity is needed. Maybe not like that, but profanity is needed to get the point across.
Absolutely. And what we're dealing with here is this is a very emotional subject. We love our country.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anybody, if there's some profanity, sorry, you really got to get past that and look at the message.
Yeah. And that's just it. You know, the message right now, the big message, and you forwarded me a video, and
a couple of them.
Yeah, actually, one that really it kind of struck me in the in the gut. And this is that this is a 2-minute video. This is video one in the program notes. This is a World Economic Forum is threatening the heads of 20 nations' governments. Now, you sent this to me, and people can hear this, and or people can see what's going on around them and not really understand. I mean, you see what's going on in Canada. You see what's going on in Canada by your family, my God. Friends.
Yes. It is falling apart. The World Economic Forum is... They're in lockstep with these guys.
Yeah.
Trudeau and Freeland, they're in lockstep. It is unbelievable. They are turning the country over to the World Economic Forum.
Exactly.
It's as far as I'm concerned, that's the end of humanity.
Well, you know, we've got a lot to get into. And common thread on this is the WEF. And
yes, sir.
You know, it began in 1971.
Yes, sir.
It was the predecessor, or it followed, of course, the dealings of Kissinger and of other globalists, but became autonomous and became huge. We should do an entire show on the composition of the WEF,
we'll do that. I'm working on an article too that discusses just the WEF,
and that's reason something you're very good at.
We're trying to make it to where you can just tuck it in your pocket, and anytime somebody says, "What do you mean WEF?" you can just say it, and we've condensed it. There it is. And if you want to give it to them to read, it isn't going to take all day to do it.
And
literally, we're going to explain it to you in 2 minutes.
The beauty part of that, and thank you, because the beautiful part of that is when you have the ability to condense a lot of information into a readable package. You know, it's people will read one page versus 14. And
exactly.
Thank you for that. All right.
Let's
do video two, or I'm sorry, video one in the program notes. World Economic Forum is threatening the heads of 20 nations' governments. Folks, listen to this. Because this is the common thread of today's program, and of all of our programs. Go ahead.
This guy's not with. He's not with the World Economic Forum. He's describing what was said.
Exactly. Yeah. Of course, he's a priest, I believe. I'm not sure.
That's the impression I got, sir.
Okay. All right. Yep. Let's roll the video one.
Those who do not adapt to this fourth industrial revolution will find themselves ousted and will lose. They will lose everything, including their freedom. In short, Klaus Schwab is threatening the head of government of the 20 most industrialized nations in the world to carry out the programmatic points of the Great Reset in their nation. This goes far beyond the pandemic. It is a global coup d'etat against which it is essential that people rise up and that the still healthy organ of state start an international juridical process. The threat is imminent and serious. Since the World Economic Forum is capable of carrying out its subversive project, and those who govern nations have all become either enslaved or blackmailed by this international mafia. In the light of these statements, and those of others no less delusional than Yuval Noah Harari, Schwab's advisor, we understand how the pandemic fast served as a trial balloon for imposing controls, coercive measures, curtailing individual freedoms, and increasing unemployment and poverty. The new step will have to be carried out by means of economic and energy crisis which are instrumental to the establishment of a synarchic government in the hands of the global elite.
All right, there it is. And he mentions some good points. I believe he might be a bishop, Catholic bishop from Italy, perhaps the Vatican. Folks, I'm not sure. You can get more information by clicking on the link at HagmanPI.com. But Randy Taylor, your thoughts on that message?
That's pretty serious. I think what's happening is that the World Economic Forum is starting to panic. There's more and more resistance building up in the world. You can only push people so far. I know up here in Canada, and I'm going to be very, very vague about it, something's in the wind. All right, I'll just tell you, having spoke with people up there, something is in the wind.
Now, when you say that, okay, are you talking about the WEF? I know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about resistance to this.
Okay, all right.
Resistance to this. Very little details. Whatever it is already in motion and can't be stopped. And this is going to coincide, but separate from the trucker convoy. I don't know if people know what's going on there. Trucks from out west and trucks from out east are all converging on Ontario. Okay, Ontario is just right above Pennsylvania. Okay.
Yeah.
They're going to lock down Toronto.
Is that?
We're expecting, they're on the road right now. We're expecting them to show up Thursday and Friday. So, you know, once again, they have to be very vague and keep it within their groups, because I don't even think they're real police up here in the Toronto area. And I say up here because I'm back and forth constantly. But the Toronto police and Ottawa cops, something is amiss. They don't even look like regular cops. They don't act like regular cops. Something is in the air. Something's going on right now. Trudeau's up to his eyeballs in trouble because of problems in India. There's speculation and there's word around the campfire that there were drugs on the plane and something happened there. He also, there's some dividing points definitely with India. It has to do with the terrorists living in Canada that basically Canada has been protecting. And they're saying, which was really stupid, but they said that Indian intelligence came in and killed the guy on Canadian soil.
Okay.
They haven't even completed an investigation yet, and he opened his mouth. But all of this is happening very fast, and a lot of things going on at once up there. And I honestly, the Indian story, East India, as we're talking about, you know, the Indians, not woo-woo like that, East Indian. I think he's trying to distract away from his horribly failed domestic policies. He made the mistake of messing with the children. And
Trudeau.
There is one thing, Trudeau, yeah. He made that mistake, saying that it was okay for the school boards to do this, to have transsexuals and exposing children to, we're talking 4 and 5 year olds, to anal sex, things that kids should not even know about. Also, if they want to change their gender identity, the school can encourage them. The parents don't have to be told. So basically, your son could go to school and put on a dress at the front door, and nobody at school is going to say a word to mom and dad. And what they say, they come out and say it, and it doesn't infuriate anybody in any culture, in any background, that said, well, they're not your children, they're our children. Excuse me? I couldn't believe that. But that's the motto. And he's gone, and I sent you something else, Doug. I got it, and Eric. The unions up in Canada were contacted by the politicians. And as these parents did this million person march for the kids, and this happened this last week, okay, mm-hmm. All across Toronto, like in 100 cities, parents came out in multitudes. You wouldn't know it from the media because they didn't say anything about it. They're just pointing out that parents are far right bigots and or hate the LB alphabet community. That's not the case. Even the gay people with pride are calling out the government on this because they don't want anybody messing with the children. See, that's the one universal thing. There you go. Now, this is what's on the screen there. This was sent out. A buddy of mine from out in Vancouver, out that way, sent it. This was sent out to anyone in the movie industry.
Okay.
To make movies, stars, producers. Anybody had anything to do with that in that union, this 891? This is an example of what, and this was a private letter, okay? We've taken all the, we've redacted any personal information. But telling them in the union what to say and what to do, and they were instructed to go out on the street and counter-protest the parents. What does that have to do with unions? It has nothing to do with unions. They're politicizing this. There's no union should give instructions to its members to assemble on the street and wearing black hoods, ski masks, and go out and go after the parents on the street.
What kind of union is this?
That right there, that particular one is for actresses, movies, people okay. that are in the movie industry. But these type of letters went out in every union across Canada. Especially the one that was in Toronto, as they call it, CUPE, C-U-P-E, and the fruitcake that runs that. You said, I cannot believe that the unions, and you got to think about this. The people that work in unions have kids, too. Yeah. How can they bring themselves to do that?
They're perverts. I mean,
yes.
How else do you describe it?
Satan is alive and well in Canada. I'll tell you right now, Trudeau is at war with parents. Trudeau is at war with Christianity. Trudeau is at war with churches. We already knew that during COVID. He was the one arresting pastors, which clearly goes against the Bill of Rights up here, what they call their Bill of Rights. It specifically says you cannot arrest a pastor on his way to work while he's at work or coming home from work.
That's right.
You have to wait until he's home. And that's the law. That's their law.
Yep. Yet Archer Pulaski was arrested at work and on his way home. And by the way, for those who are wondering, last week he was sentenced to 60 days time served for misdemeanor charges. They're equivalent misdemeanor charges.
Time served, but like you said, Doug, he was in there a lot more than 60 days.
Yes.
It just happened to say time served. That man, I admire these people. There was a trucker's convoy about a year and a half ago, if you guys remember. There are four people still sitting in jail because of the trucker convoy. They've been charged with mischief. Nobody's done anything. They're sitting there rotting. They haven't been. I think all they got was arraigned. But they're just sitting there rotting. That's against the law.
So Canada's got the truckers. The U.S. has got the J6ers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But let me tell you what. Let me tell you about some resilience. The truckers, they're coming back. They're coming back in town this week, and there's more than ever. You've got the parents are going to be marching again. You've got veterans. The place is fixing to get turned on its head up in Canada. Listen, ladies and gentlemen in the U.S., this video that Doug and I were watching closely, okay? And the guy, I'm going to say this much. The gentleman's on Facebook, okay? You could probably find him on a search. That's how we found him. We were just searching. I'm not going to give an exact on where to find him because what he's saying, he's really trying to minimize the authorities having any access. He won't give out the schedule. He won't give out the exact time. He won't tell you how many. I do know this man's been the last 5 months going across the country and putting people together. And he's got so many people on this that, like he said in the video, he goes, it can't be stopped. And there's really nothing they're going to be able to do about it.
Do you think this will be, okay.
The shot heard around the world?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the next 2 weeks in Canada, and that they want to rally the world. People, people aren't just, if you're like Doug, myself, and even you, and the folks up that are good people and up in Canada, listen, we love everybody in the world. If we have people in New Zealand that are being tormented, you know, we want them. Everybody needs to work with each other. This isn't just a U.S. problem. The U.S. is the last stop before the globalists just smash us. And that's because the U.S. is armed. Now, look, I want you to look at that bunch of Canadians. These people aren't, they got gun laws up here you wouldn't believe up in Canada. I kid you not. But you know what? They're still going to take the government to task. And that takes some guts, ladies and gentlemen. That takes guts. And they warned them that they're coming.
I'll tell you.
They warned them that they're coming. And I think this, the next 2 weeks is going to be so incredible. And it's going to either start something or stop something.
It would be difficult, though, would it not, to not notice the approach from both the trucks and the West? Yeah.
Now, that exact subject came up. And he said in last night, the one video I observed last night, he did say he doesn't recommend traveling in groups. Now, here's the thing. The guy that we were looking at is separate from the trucker convoy. Trucker convoy is a whole nother deal. Okay.
Right.
And I don't know if you guys knew this, but there was a gentleman up in Canada that had his own radio show or whatever, or a podcast. And he had people writing in to the U.S. Congress, sending the mail to him, hard mail, slow mail, snail mail. These letters, and there were just tons of them, hundreds of thousands of these letters, were delivered to U.S. Congress asking for help in Canada, and which to me almost seemed ludicrous, because the U.S. government is every bit as bad as the Canadian government. But Justin Trudeau has literally gone bananas. I don't think the Canadians, they're talking about an election next year. And down in the States, we always say, well, there may not be an election next year. I'll tell you right now, if there's an election next year, I would be very surprised in Canada. That's why I think, I don't know, there's something's in the wind, my friend. Something is in the wind, and you can feel it. You can feel it when you're out in public. You know, I was up in that area last week. You can feel it.
I don't know. I think we both might have caught some of it too. By the way,
I think I brought some back with me, because I've been feeling rough the last couple of days. But, ladies and gentlemen, the media will throttle this. They'll choke it down.
Well, okay? they minimize everything. Well, the media.
Oh yeah, the million man marches and all that they were doing, million parent march. Yeah, yeah. They acted like 25 people showed up. If you go on just even anything on Rumble, go on Rumble, Brighteon, and then just punch in Canada parent protest. But just do that. Okay. You folks are at Rumble anyway. You're checking us out. Just punch that in and go on there, and you're going to be amazed.
Yeah.
How many parents showed up. And listen, these are folks, white folks. These are black folks. These are Muslims. These are East Indians. These are people from every culture you can imagine. Amazing. That's the one line you don't cross, is messing with the kids.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about the kids too here shortly. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get these videos in. Well, one quick thing I wanted to say.
Go ahead.
You saw where the Liberal government, I know they blamed it on the House Speaker and Parliament up there, how the Liberal government brought in a 98-year-old
Nazi.
They were calling him a Ukrainian soldier.
Right.
So they're all clapping. Blah, 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 blah. Turns out the guy was a Nazi.
A real life, World War II Nazi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it. Did you also see today Poland put in the paperwork to have him extradited to Poland?
I did not see
awesome.
That.
Yes, sir.
To pay for his crimes from World War II.
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Good.
Yep. But the sickening part is, you know, and we know, that person was vetted by Trudeau's government.
Well, the excuse was, it was a mistake, and we, you know, we didn't mean to do it. No.
And you saw the House Speaker. He took the fall.
Yeah, he did.
No, I did it. He has no control over any of that. That was decided. He didn't call the guy and go, hey, come down to Parliament. He's a guy that he's like a referee is all he is in Parliament.
Right.
He keeps people from screaming at each other. But that guy stood up and took the hit. Because that guy is not neutral, he's is part of the Liberal Party. So he took the hit for Justin Trudeau.
I got to tell you, Parliament up there, you watch it, it's pretty entertaining. It gets entertaining sometimes.
Oh, yeah. There's some folks really speak their mind.
Yeah. And at least wow. They maintain a dress code down here. Folks, you know, and if you're listening to this in Canada, in the United States, the Senate lost its dress code. You can wear a hoodie now and sweatpants, you know, if you're a senator. Go figure.
Fetterman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They did it because of Fetterman. Seriously.
Are we looking at the same Fetterman in every picture we see of him?
No, we can't be.
Because they've got looks like a body double, but it's a really bad one.
You know.
The big, you know, the 1970 porn mustache. You know that one? Yeah, you see the guy, and you're like, you look at him going, wow, who dreamt that one up?
And Breaking Bad style, right. yeah. Go figure. Yeah. I don't believe, look, I think when it comes to Biden, when it comes to, it's really all these people, I think that we are looking at body doubles or something else going on, but we're not seeing the same person all the time.
No.
Don't give me this crap about focal length on cameras and stuff. Look, I understand that, okay? Yeah. But it's not that.
No, there's things where you see Biden stretching and all, and then getting on the bicycle, taking off. I remember Biden that can't walk up plane steps. I remember Biden who just goes wandering off the stage because they don't know where he's at, has no idea where the stairs are. And you're going to try and tell me that Biden, that has biceps, muscles.
Yeah.
Stretching, that's Joe Biden. Really? Do I look stupid? And at the end of the day, on a face to face picture, human ears don't move.
Well, they're not supposed to.
Unless you're. And that's really, that's good because he is Mr. Potato Head.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
That is the leader of the free world, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, this leader of the free world. I don't believe he's going to make it to November of this year, let alone November.
Oh, we stepped it up a little bit.
Yeah,
maybe we need to do a poll on that or something. I would get in trouble for that.
For what? For really? Yeah. On my bingo card, yeah. I got him in November this year. Look, folks, if you think that we're going to have a normal election in 2024. Here's the thing I've learned, and something has drawn me. I'm in a conversation here with you, folks, as well as RT. Something has drawn me to really, really study Watergate. Okay, now I don't know why, because it's 50 years ago. So what is it? What does Watergate have to do with what's going on today? Come to find out, quite a flipping bit. Okay, one of the things in Watergate. You mentioned India, for example, and Canada. Did you not? Something about India and Canada? India,
yes, sir.
The country. Yeah. Okay. Right before Watergate, the White House experienced leaks about the Indian-Pakistani rivalry, okay, which they brought in this, or they created this group called the Plumbers. Because of the leaks about the White House's bias toward one of the countries, okay, so there's a commonality there, but it gets even worse. As it turns out, let me ask you a question, RT, because we haven't spoke about this. When we speak about water, or when you think about Watergate. Why did five burglars, along with two supervisors, break into the DNC, Democratic National Committee headquarters in the Watergate Hotel on June 17th, 1972. What was the purpose of that break-in?
They were after. My understanding was like paperwork. It was particular paperwork they were after.
At the DNC?
I don't know. Right, and I don't remember right offhand what it was.
Okay, I mean,
they went to a lot of effort, though.
Right. So, I mean, if you were to ask, like, the average, like, people our age, that you know, what was that burglary all about? I'm sure that would be one of maybe two or three different answers you might get. Well, you know, what we're seeing today, if you look at Watergate, and by the way, 40 Nixon administration officials were convicted of crimes, another 30, I believe, later on, not associated with, not directly with the administration, but nonetheless. The result was the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978 that created FISA. That was one of the things that created FISA. But Nixon's cover-up was minor compared to the Washington Post's cover-up of the motive behind the Watergate burglary. And the reason I bring this up now is because the CIA infiltrated the Nixon White House, and they now the CIA, and I did not know this before. I mean, I knew, of course, the CIA is not domestically chartered. They cannot operate off of U.S. land, right? Okay.
Theoretically, yeah.
Okay, except, now here's an exception. There's one exception to that rule. When it is for national security purposes, and it has to have White House approval.
Approval, right.
Okay, now, there were five individuals arrested along with two supervisors. The five individuals all were Bay of Pigs veterans. The two supervisors, one of the two, was with the Central Intelligence Agency. Was, and I'm going to toss this out as a question, was this break-in, forget the motive for a moment, was this break-in one of the possibilities? Was that, did they attempt to legitimize domestic surveillance using the CIA against the DNC to ferret out, we'll say, communists or perhaps even Cuban money to the DNC? Did they attempt to do that by using the CIA with White House approval? So that would set a precedent for other operations already in progress at that time. Now, the reason I say this is important for today is if you look at the role of the intelligence community today, specifically the CIA domestically.
Right.
Oh, wait a second. You've got Biden in office now. And if he says, well, this domestic operation, and by the way, this didn't start with Watergate. This started back in 1797, George Washington. But it also had Shays Rebellion, the Whiskey Rebellion, and the loss of Fourth Amendment rights. This actually could trump the Bill of Rights, okay, if you look at from a constitutional standpoint. So the reason I said that word salad was to say this. At that moment in time, and compared to today, could that be a use of the CIA domestically to go after citizens not having to follow the Constitution? Wouldn't it be convenient if that would be the case for today? And it was, they were trying to make that case back in Watergate. They did not take that defense, but perhaps that was the case.
So almost like they wanted to get caught just so that it would be established?
I don't know if they wanted to, but certainly once caught, they could have used the CIA defense, meaning, okay.
I could see him using that defense. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Especially if we wanted to further an agenda, how they would make that agenda public. So maybe there were several break-ins that night or during that time period, and this one got bagged.
Well,
I don't know. It just seemed like an odd cast of characters that went in there.
Well, yes. And what I found very interesting, too, the CIA has always been interested in sexual exploits. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 50s and 60s, but beginning in the 50s, they established bordellos, Telegraph Hill in San Francisco, California. They use prostitutes and drug subjects. Gee whiz, where did we hear that before? They exerted psychological control, extortion, and so on. And this is all revealed by way of the Church Committee back in 1975. But here's another issue I was thinking about. Let me find it here. We were talking about Jack Anderson, Washington merry-go-round. I used to read his column quite often. He was a muckraker back in the day, a reporter, and he was anti-war. He was anti-everything. Okay, the guy. Do you remember Jack Anderson? His column, the reporter.
No, I don't remember the column. No, I know the name, but not much about him.
Well, in 1972 or 1973, let me see. I got so many pages here; it's incredible. I wrote down the date. There was a meeting between the doctor that worked for the CIA, specifically the SRS division of the CIA, which was super secret part, and the director of the CIA. And it involved the doctor, but they wanted to kill Jack Anderson. The CIA thought, with White House approval, because of the leaks that jeopardized national security, they could kill him either using two things, aspirin roulette. Think about this. They break into your house, put a capsule in your medicine, and, you know, eventually you're going to take that medicine, right? It looks like something you're taking. Or the second way they were going to kill him was they were going to broadside him. And they actually, the CIA taught this, how to broadside a vehicle in such a manner on the driver's side to kill the driver. Okay? I'm not making this up.
No.
So the CIA officers... were involved in that. And think about Michael Hastings and Breitbart today. You know, you think about what's going on today. Has anything really changed? Pretty interesting.
No. I think the CIA has killed many, many a person in the United States on U.S. soil.
Yeah. Now that we took that rabbit trail. But yeah.
Absolutely. And the problem with CIA, they're so compartmentalized that this section has no idea what this section is doing. And there's people that have work in there that have never set foot in the building after the day they were hired, probably. You know, you've got the contractors, independent contractors. You've got defense contractors, all these people. I don't know how a CIA director could keep track of all of it. I understand why so many things have gone wrong, because no human being could track all everything.
Even with a good
staff, you know, you're only as good as the people that are working for you.
No, you're exactly right. And folks, that's
scary.
And there was an operation called Operation Mudhen back then as well. In addition to killing Jack Anderson, prior to doing that, they were engaged in intimidating his members of his family. There's two types of surveillance. I always like to say one that you'll never see, and another one that you always see. Okay, and folks, you can think about that. But Operation Mudhen, they would they would harass his family to the extent where he talked to his children. He had young children at the time, and his children would make fun of the agents or officers that were outside of his house, or you know, messing with the kids. But suddenly, Jack Anderson became, in the words of one author of a book, I'm reading a couple of books, one author became the dog that didn't bark and did not really talk that much about the India-Pakistan deal or Watergate, the Watergate burglary, which I thought was rather interesting. Again.
I'm sure they could get anyone's attention and stress their point.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I wouldn't, yeah.
But the reason I mentioned that is when you look back historically, you know, how do we get FISA? What about and if you think about Donald Trump, what happened too? And I'm going to shut up with this. The Washington Post became the advocate journal for the prosecution of Richard Nixon. Facts be damned. They never asked any motive. What was the motive of the burglary? Two burglaries, actually. They never asked any questions. They took information and they ran with the information, but they did so in a biased fashion. So by the time the hearings began, the televised hearings began, and the committees, the Irwin Committee and such, Nixon was pretty much, although he was engaged, I have to say this, he was engaged in a cover-up. He did obstruct justice. The things that happened before, he could have put an end to this had he had competent legal counsel. Think about this, and think about Donald Trump. Nixon's lawyer, his White House counsel, was a lawyer as a lawyer for 4 months. In private practice, never litigated a case, and is specialized in divorce cases. That was his White House lawyer.
Wow.
Okay, so, and people say, well, Trump made some bad appointments. Okay, well, look at that.
Nixon was already in the court of public opinion. He was already guilty before it even started.
Exactly.
They had crucified him. They crucified the man. And yeah. I always felt that Nixon didn't do anything that other presidents don't do.
Oh, no, no. You know,
if he just got caught.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're exactly correct. Yeah. And boy, I'll tell you what, I know how to go down rabbit holes, don't I?
That's good, though. But that's no, don't be sorry. But that's what an analyst does, brother.
Well, I really didn't want to take time out, but I thought that was so interesting. Yeah. And when you look at how we got to today and you see every step along the way and you know, you think about what Washington did, and people think, oh, by the way, Lincoln, you know, great president. We have a monument to him. Yeah, not so great when you look at what he did, suspended the Constitution. And even to some extent with Washington, he violated the Bill of Rights, basically. You know, again, Shays' Rebellion, the Whiskey Rebellion. Yep. If you go back, So
he definitely muddied the waters. That's for sure. He's not the angel that they make him out to be in, you know, in history class.
No. So have we been here before? No, but we've been close. Before we get to the video and any further, I just want to thank our sponsors, including Policy Genius, folks. If you don't have life insurance right now, I don't care if you're 5 or 50, you really need to have life insurance. I've got one word for you. It's all one word, and that word is Policy Genius. They're not an insurance company. They're a marketplace that helps people find and buy insurance. And you know, look, I've known a lot of people during my life who passed away. A lot of breadwinners who passed away. And I've seen some messes made by those individuals not having insurance or the proper amount of insurance. So let me direct you to a company I feel is the best. I've I have actually directed my own family members to policygenius.com, policygenius.com. Because if you have a family like I do, you know how much your loved ones depend on you. In a worst case scenario, you wouldn't want them to worry about money. So a good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind. And I'll tell you what, Policy Genius can help you do just that. Again, I've seen a lot of things, and it's a whole different story if you leave your family with the proper insurance. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $25 per month for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed award-winning agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance companies. And that's a big thing, folks. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. Now, here's what you need to do. And I should say this. They've got thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. That's where the five came in, the five stars. But I would give them five stars, having helped others use PolicyGenius.com. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net. You deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head to PolicyGenius.com or click on the link in the program description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com, PolicyGenius.com, all one word, PolicyGenius.com. I want to thank them so much for being a sponsor of ours. Okay, video three. We have a problem at the border, RT. You and I spoke about this. You know what's coming through. You know what is coming through. We need to address this. Here is Mark, this is video two. I skipped one, didn't I? This is video two, and I want to do this in order. This is a very important video that talks. This is a gentleman who just took office recently and talks about the southern border. And he's down there. He knows what he's talking about. While KJP and Biden say, hey, the border's secure. Watch this.
Is that what we are really witnessing at your southwest border and in Mexico is the largest U.S. intelligence failure since 9/11. I want to be very clear here. It is the largest U.S. intelligence failure since 9/11. And what these cartels truly represent is unprecedented. And I want to walk you through what you should have been told. And this is exactly why when I retired, I went public in 2016 to designate the Mexican cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. And if you would have told me that I would be here 7 years later, still trying to get this done, I would have never believed it possible, ever. The Mexican cartels were organized crime prior to 06. That is when Ocio Cardenas with the Gulf Cartel began bringing in special forces known as the Los Zetas to work under him. And what they brought that you should have been told and the U.S. intelligence agencies missed were two things, tradecraft and discipline. And it forced all the other cartels to rise or fall. And this is why violence in Mexico has spread across the nation. And we were fighting that at the border. While our nation was looking to the Middle East, at your border, we were dealing with major engagements of battle lasting hours, 6, 10, 12-hour battles on your southwest border, 50-caliber belt-fed machine guns, armored vehicles, 40-millimeter grenades, surface-to-air missiles, things we were stunned by, and no one was listening. And I'm screaming at Washington, and I'm coming up here as a captain at the time. And I'm saying, we have got problems at the border. And they'd say to me all the time, Jason, we hear you. We want you to know that we hear you. We're listening, but we just don't see it. Because the data system in this country did not illuminate what we were seeing and how this was coming to our border. And we were trying to illuminate it. From there, they went into an insurgency. This was what that was, that they were fighting each other for control. Then they went into terrorism. If you look up the Allende massacre of 300 men, women, and children, then the 72 migrants that were killed in San Fernando.
watch, you can watch Real America's Voice, RT, Los Zetas, the organized, the cartels, the importing. You know, it's an invasion by invitation. That's borrowed from Laura Ingraham. What do you make of the southern border and what's taking place?
It's wide open. I don't even know why Border Patrol comes to work. they're overrun. They're overrun, and that's the ones that they managed to catch. But I was watching videos there where they were just piling in. I mean, they were sitting there filming. The line went back as far as you could see. 11,000 people in one day. Let me stop and think about that. 11,000 people in one day. That's insane. They're marching armies into our country. And don't think I'm joking. We're not kidding. Every country out there knows that that southern border is wide open. This is ridiculous. This is out of hand. Abbott, he even put a barbed wire and all. They were complaining, oh, it's drowning the refugees. Well, then stay home. That's not our, you know, that's the way it goes. But then they have feds coming in, cutting the barbed wire and removing his barriers. Yeah. The man's trying to protect his state. He's trying to protect his state. He's the governor of Texas. That's his job.
Well,
and
that's
the federal government's fighting him.
But one of his largest donors is the company that owns the largest criminal, they call it a migrant center, but it's a criminal center north of Houston. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just saying, he talks.
Is that those are the guys? Is that you're talking about the where they've got like 120,000 people?
Yeah, I'm talking about Abbott,
the center north,
Colony Ridge. Yeah, and to me, well, Abbott is no friend to the U.S. Go ahead.
I he's not doing a very good job. I know that it's overrun. It's overrun. As far as who owned who, that I didn't know. I don't think anybody's doing a good job down there. They keep downing Trump over it. But nobody in the Biden administration should be saying anything about Trump. Trump was president years ago. But he feels this need to constantly compare himself to Trump. That's ridiculous. Secure the border. They need to just move the military down there and secure the damn thing and be done with it. Stop the flow. Nobody else.
Yet that's, they're sending National Guard down and others to process the paperwork. Mm-hmm. I know they're doing that in New York.
I don't see the point. I know why they're not shutting down the border, obviously. Yeah. They're overthrowing the country. This is from within.
Exactly.
We don't have to worry about an exterior invader. We have interior invaders. They're already here. And when it's rally day and rally point, they'll rally them. There's enough of them in here to take down cities.
And I think they
will. Stop and think about that. Enough to take down U.S. cities. Total control. This is nuts. This is nuts.
It's the equivalent of having foreign armies on our soil. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, Biden is responsible for this. One last video about this issue. This is Mark Morgan. It's a minute 52. Mayorkas, this guy is the most evil man on the really in this regime, in the Biden regime. And here's Mark Morgan.
He's a bold-faced liar, this guy.
Exactly. This is a minute 52, well worth every second of it. Here it is.
Secretary Mayorkas, right? Exactly. This is why I call him. He's one of the most evil men in this administration right now. He should be impeached, absolutely. And blood is on his hands. And I don't say that lightly. I've served six administrations over my 40 years, both Republican and Democrat. This isn't about politics. But it is. They're making it about politics. For their greed and their quest for perpetual political power, they are jeopardizing the safety and national security of our country. When they tell you that our borders are secure, it's a lie. It's an intentional lie. When they tell you that illegal immigration has no downside, that illegal immigration has no harm, that illegal immigration does not cause bad things, it's a lie. I am for, and I, Tom Holman, Jason Jones, Derek Mulch, look, I know these men. They're patriots. They're incredible. We are for strong border security, but we're for legal immigration as well. That's not what this is about. What's happening at our border is about border security. And illegal immigration, though, has a downstream effect. It's not complicated. As we have millions of illegal aliens coming across our border, in the last 30 months, we've had over 9 million total nationwide encounters and gotaways in 32 months. 9 million. There's no country on the face of the planet that can sustain that effectively. And what happens? You have limited border patrol resources that are pulled off the line, away from their national security mission, relegated to administrative duties to process millions of illegal aliens. And what do you think happens? You think the cartels are back there playing tiddlywinks? No. We're literally handing operational control of our border on a silver platter to the cartels. That's happening every single day.
And there it is. RT, your thoughts.
The question is, how are we going to fix it? Mrs. Nuts.
Well, you know.
This is crazy. That is, I don't know what to say. I don't even know what to say. What I've seen just in videos this last week is gut wrenching.
And
it makes me sick from a security standpoint.
What the hell is our Speaker of the House doing? Look, I know that nothing can happen in the Senate, but at least we've got the House. What are House members doing? Except
I don't know. Comes?
I know he's in recess.
I don't know. I don't know if can a governor put out a call to Americans to come down and be deputized and secure the border?
I suspect.
I would think so. I would think I would think that that's possible. That's what's going to end up having to happen. The country's being turned inside out at the southern border, and the people on the left don't seem to get it. They just don't seem to get it. They're talking about, you know, well, they're poor and they need food. You know what? Stay home, fix your country. Don't come here. Because when you come here, they're just a burden on us. Your taxes are what's going to these people. And I'm sorry, you know, I understand starving children and all that stuff. I don't have any problem closing the door and saying, that's it. We're done. Do you know how many years it would take us just to catch up on the paperwork?
It's
literally decades.
And there's no intent. No. You know,
no.
Yeah, Michael Yon, who's been on this show, and I've had some.
That guy's awesome. Yeah. I saw some videos of him. He's on the case, buddy.
I'm going to tell you what, he is a great guy, and he travels a lot. He posted on Twitter, X, or whatever that thing is. This post here, okay, this is in response to RFK Jr. saying that, you know, hey, we got to fix the southern border, and makes it a point there, makes a point in this post. But I want to focus on what Michael Yon said. Look, it's a great start, simple, easy, yet the war does not start at the U.S. border. And that's an important point I think people have to understand. This is not just a bunch of ragtag people coming across, you know, that finally made it to Mexico. This is an organized invasion. And that's what Michael Yon is really kind of pushing there, or trying to get people to understand. It's policies and, this is really a international
crisis.
Yeah, it is. And you got Biden over in Poland saying, you know, what disappoints me is not being able to go down and see the Polish, Poland-Ukraine border. Well, screw you. Get your ass back here and go to the southern border, you piece of crap.
Michael Yon he's down there. Last time I saw anything from him, he's working that Darien Gap.
Yeah,
and that is a hellhole. That's a dangerous place for people to be. That is, yep. It's hands off. There's no way to protect yourself there. If the bad guys catch you there, you're done.
Yep.
They'll rape all the women. They'll kill them. The men, they'll rape them in too. I'm just telling you, you walk through there, you better have a minimum 7-man squad that knows what the hell they're doing. Exactly. I'm in the military. I know the area.
You've been down in that area.
Yeah. It hadn't gotten any better.
Yeah.
We used to, we were flying into Panama and then go to Fort Sherman. It was right at the mouth of the Panama Canal. And, get any kind of training we needed for the op and all, because there's always something further south. There was no need to go to north because you had Noriega up there running Panama. And he was buddies with the U.S. at that time. Or right. Later on, they turned on him, as they do with anybody who's done business with them. But I do remember the Darien Gap. And let me tell you, these families are going through there. And that's just crazy. That's just friggin' insane. Something's going to have to be done about these cartels, and I really just don't know how. I mean, I know how to go about it, but with the way the government is, I just don't know how it would ever happen.
And look what's going on in New York City. And Hochul, New York State, but then New York City. I mean, Hochul for the state and Adams for New York City. The millions of dollars being appropriated for these invaders.
They're handing the U.S. to them literally on a silver platter.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've never... If you told me this 30 years ago, I'd have said you're crazy. You know,
but have you thought about why now? I mean,
because it's the world, and I will go with the World Economic Forum on that. That's who's behind this. They want people in controllable areas. They want to set up their 15-minute cities. They want to enslave the entire world population. Now, I want you people to stop and think about this. Those World Economic Forum and these billionaires that think that they're going to run our lives, they meet every year in this little valley town in the Swiss Alps called Davos. Davos, Switzerland. I have a question for you. Okay. Why are we, as the world's population, which is, I don't know how many billions of people, why are we taking crap off of probably 5,000 people that are doing, they're planning our demise. They're planning on taking everything we own. You will own nothing and you will be happy. So that Klaus Schwab says, we're not making it up. Anybody that doesn't know Klaus Schwab and what he's about, you're failing on your personal mission. You need to know who that man is, and we're going to introduce you to him. All right? I'm working on an article about him. We're going to start putting up stuff about him. We've got to educate the United States. Because I'll tell you what, people are asleep at the wheel. Your families depend on this. Your grandchildren depend on this. And I'm hoping that up in Canada, they light a fire. When I say light a fire, it's figuratively speaking. But I hope they bring the government down up there. I really do.
Do you think
they plan to do it peacefully.
I hear people say that. You and I say that all the time. But is there
Yeah, we do, just to keep
way?
Our ass out of trouble. His attitude is good because he says they're going to be peaceful until it's time to not be peaceful.
And that's going to happen
I would agree. I mean, we watched them last time during the convoy. You had trampling old ladies with horses.
Yeah.
And that was seen around the world. And Trudeau got called out for it. There's so much going on right now up in Canada.
But yet he's still sucking air up there. Why?
Yeah. I have no idea why he's breathing the same air I am. I don't know. he should not be in that position. There are several people need to be removed from their positions. Everybody I can think of in politics is demanding his resignation. The problem is, it's like getting Saddam Hussein out of office. What do you get? You get the bad brother. You know what I'm saying? Well, sometimes the devil, you know, I think that unfortunately the devil, you know, is easier to control, but I said the whole house needs to be cleaned. The whole stinking thing, because you can go back and even the ones that are Pierre Poilievre or whatever his name is, he's got, you know, he was tied in with the World Economic Forum at one point. Okay, now he denounces them and all, but his wife isn't denouncing them. And we know she was involved with it. So who do you trust? And here's the thing. We've got to stop this like ASAP. We're out of time, people. And if you heard at the beginning of the show, he is calling on 20 governments to do the Great Reset right now. The Great Reset is all tied into COVID, the whole nine yards, where they stop everything. You will lose your house. You will lose your possessions. You will be implanted with a chip. It's 1984 for real. This is not a joke. It's not a conspiracy theory. If you think it's a conspiracy theory, you're going to be that dumbass standing in line behind me at the guillotine saying, why didn't you do something?
I can't say anything wrong. I mean, that's right.
This is, we talked till we're blue in the face. But
see, that's
okay. I can't believe that we're supposed to be complacent. I just don't. I understand that a lot of folks that are, you know, Bible believing Christians, this is the end times. I've been hearing the end times for the last 60 years.
Well, okay? It's even truer now, isn't it?
Yeah, and at the same, you know, if you think about it, you can go back to your life and when things were terrible and scary. This is really scary because they're talking about enslaving humanity. And here's the part that blows my mind. Why didn't we just go down to Davos and take care of business? I don't get it. I don't understand. Why haven't some militaries got together and said, hey, and enough is enough. Our job is to protect the people. Why aren't they being arrested?
Yeah, we're talking, something happened to your chalet down there.
Yeah, but stop and think about just being... What they're advocating is pure Nazi. It's Third Reich thinking.
Yeah,
it's like the Fourth Reich reinvented. They're talking about taking everything you own, enslaving you, taking away your food and starving you, right? And implanting a chip where you have no privacy, nothing, which ultimately leads to your death.
Yes.
Because if you're of no use to the companies or whatever, whoever's running it, you're what they call a useless eater. If you have a handicap like I've got, where I can't hardly walk, I would be executed. Don't you stop and think about that.
If yes. They're any good, unless yes. They're pickled.
Yeah. You know, but you got to stop and think about that. Yeah. That's where we're at. That is honest. Bill Gates and these people are not our friends. I wouldn't buy a Microsoft computer. Listen, we're at the end of the rope. We're at the end of the rope. And what I don't understand is if they're willing to make such a big deal about a Nazi up there in Parliament and want to extradite him and try him, why are all these world leaders subscribing to Nazi doctrine with the World Economic Forum? It's Nazi doctrine with the sprinkles of communism on top. Folks, they're trying to create a certain kind of race by piling us all together. They want everybody to mix and mingle and all that. And this is designed to where they have control over the entire Earth's population. This don't have jack shit to do with climate control, immigration. The only thing with immigration is they're trying to get us into an area that they can patrol.
Yeah.
That's it. That way they can strip Africa, the people gone or dead. Okay, we don't know how many people Gates has killed there. all right, with his experiments, and they'll be stripping Africa of all its natural resources because the Africans will be over here working as slaves again. Again. Didn't learn anything the first time? People, wake up. Wake up. I'm a crippled dude in a wheelchair. I'm ready to fight. Damn it. Let's see what's going on in Canada. I'll tell you right now, they need to get going. They need to light a fire, and that fire needs to spread around the world because I am sick and tired of this crap. This has to end, and I cannot believe that we're sitting here numbered in the billions, and we're taking shit off of 5,000 people. If you added them all up, there probably can't 5,000 people show up at Davos.
And our voices are being throttled. We're losing our rights as American citizens.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. And you know what? Yep. Everything is fine. As long as I can watch the game on Sunday, as long as I can.
And that's the problem, sir. You just hit it right on the head. Yeah, nobody wants to interrupt their perfect little life. Oh, I've got a good job. You're not going to have a job. You'll have a job. You won't be getting paid for it. You won't be living in a nice house. You and your family will be slaves. And when something goes wrong, you will be executed. I'll tell you right now, they're killing people up in Canada left and right with this MAID program. And if you're in poverty and you're in poverty and you can't pay your bills, or you're homeless and you can't pay your bills and it's just too much, rather than get you a psychiatrist and maybe some help, they're offering to euthanize you.
Yes. How many
That's not a joke.
Know about that?
Yeah, nobody. We're telling people, listen, get some people to watch the show. It's called the MAID program. MAID. Okay? Look it up. They're euthanizing people. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have this group where from here they'll take your children. This is no joke. They plan to take your children, program them how they're supposed to be, and then when they're the working age, you'll be a slave until you get to the point you can't physically work anymore, and then you will be terminated. Your kids are going to be terminated. Your grandchildren are going to be terminated. Why aren't you doing something about it? Put the TV guide down, set the remote down, and do something. The people come to me all the time, what are you doing? What do you want me to do? We turned you on to the idea. What do you want from us? Neither one of us can hardly walk. If this was 30 years ago, this would already be over. I'd already taken care of it. I can't make it to the bathroom. Don't put it on me. You sat around in your fat ass and let this happen like everybody else. And you preachers and you Christians out there that have done nothing, shame on you. Shame, 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 shame. There's no CO2 emergency. That is all crap to scare people. Strategy of tension. We've covered that.
Exactly.
Strategy of tension. Read it. Type it in. Don't just listen to the Hagman Report, set it down, walk away. Please read it, learn. Enrich yourselves and then spread it, because we're not apparently talking to enough people. We got to talk to more people, ladies and gentlemen, more people. Please, our lives depend on it. And I'm, you know what? When the fight comes to wherever I'm at, I will fight
to the death.
I will. I will. Yeah. Absolutely. In fact, I'll probably be sitting next to my buddy there with one of us spotting and the other one killing. I can't believe it. The young generations that are just, you know, they tell them, oh, you're going to get a $2,000 a month universal income. And a lot of kids today, because mortgage rates are so high, because inflation's so high, because they can't buy a house, because school needs to be paid for, all these different things, the government does this stuff.
Right.
To create strategy of tension. So what do you do? What do you do when there's a strategy of tension? This group's fighting this group. I'm scared to go out at night because, oh my God, I need to depend on the government. There's no food. We need to depend on the government. Oh, $2,000 a month. That's cool. I can live on that. I'm depending on the government. The government is there to kill you.
Exactly.
Well, people, please. We're the birds in the mine. The canaries, okay? The canaries about ready to fall over. I don't have that many years left. Doug ain't going to live forever. Let's get something done.
And if we have to all tell right. you exactly what to do,
then all hope is lost. Yeah, all hope is lost because, one, I'm not going to pin my name on it on the live broadcast or on a podcast. So when I come back and say, well, you told them to do it. I don't have any followers. Okay, I do not command an army. There's no rank and file here at Hagman that's nope. giving orders. Don't even come back with that crap. I'm putting this on everybody as Americans with their families. Forget about my family. I'll look after my family. You need to look after yours. And then once you're looking after yours, maybe we could get together and start looking at everybody. Maybe we can make movement community by community. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I applaud these parents that are challenging school boards.
God bless you.
I hope he rains blessings on you. We can't sit around on our hands. This complacency, and I'm so disappointed in the churches and the pastors. Not so much the congregations. Congregations follow. Pastors are supposed to lead. And I'm so disappointed in them because they're supposed to be the shepherds of the flock, man.
That's right.
And they're sitting up on a rock somewhere watching the wolves slaughter us.
Exactly.
That's not a shepherd. So then you think about that next time you drop some money in the offering plate. You're better off finding people like us, organizations like us, that are at least trying to do something, actually speak up, actually challenge the government. You know, you can make part of your tithe given to the Hagman Report. God didn't say it had to go to a church. There's nowhere in the Bible where it said it had to go to a church. It's supposed to go to the Lord's work. And I like to think we're doing the Lord's work.
Well, and speaking of that, as we're running out of time, I want to bring this up. No, man, that's good. I'm glad.
I don't want our friends and families dying, man. The people out here, I love you guys. I don't want to see you being killed by the government. I don't want to see it.
No, I don't either. And that's exactly where we're headed. I mean, democide, I had a couple other videos. Mike Adams had a doctor on from the UN just fabulous. Folks, it'll be in the program notes. Check it out. Watch it on your own. But one thing that I do want to close with that we are doing, okay, shatterops.org. That's shatterops.org. Craig Sawyer's group, okay, his group, Vets for Child Rescue, Vets the number 4 Child Rescue, and the Hagman Report, HagmanPI.com. What we are doing is we are investigating and working with families in Ohio. And we don't say everything that we're doing, but 2 weekends ago, we were in Ohio. Okay, all of us were in Ohio. And there's a reason for that. What's the reason? You're going to hear about it here in the U.S.? No. But you will hear about it by way of the Daily Mail. This is in the program description notes. Mystery. As nearly 50 school children go missing in Cleveland in September alone, while over 1,000 have vanished so far this year, an alarming trend that's left Ohio cops baffled. We have been talking with Ohio police departments. We have been on site from Cincinnati up to Toledo, over to Ashtabula, and down into the southeastern part of Ohio. And I'll say this. Yeah, last year, 16,000 kids were reported missing in the state of 11 million. Compare the numbers, by the way. Georgia and North Carolina, which have similar populations, the number of missing children was less than 700. Now you're looking at 1,000 in Ohio so far this year. Why? Well, child sex trafficking is big, is huge.
And organ harvesting.
Yes. Yes, believe it or not.
That plays a big role here, too. You know?
We have seen some things. You talk about Nazis, and I'll just end with this and turn over to you. There is a Fourth Reich, I suppose, a satanic element of the Third Reich, the Fourth Reich, operating right now in Ohio. And it involves some, look, folks, it involves some police departments, it involves some high-level officials, and it involves people that are supposed to help others. I think you can read between the lines on that. We've reunited, been able to reunite a couple of people, but here's the problem that we're having. The police departments refuse to acknowledge a problem, and the district attorneys won't even listen to the larger picture of what's really taking place. So that's what we're doing in Ohio. I just wanted to bring that to your attention, folks. And RT, you know, this is what we do, right?
We do it. And you think it's a thankless job, but you know, it's like when we were doing counterterrorism, we always said that if we saved one life, it was worth it. One life. I know we saved more than that, but that was our goal, just to save one life. And it's the same thing here.
I would urge everybody to read that article. Read the article in the Daily Mail, because there are things in there I wanted to get into, but I really can't.
Mm-hmm. It turns your stomach when you see this.
Yeah.
And think of some poor child being snatched. The terror. Imagine your child experiencing that. I can't even fathom it. No.
Well,
and I would say right now, if we don't do something, we're going to be experiencing a whole lot more. And watch what's going on. Listen, folks, watch what's going up in Canada, and you be your guide. I'm not going to tell you to do anything, because I don't intend to go to jail for anything being said. Watch the people, though, that are fixing to put it on the line.
Yes.
And then you make your call to yourself and your Lord that you're going to meet one day. You make sure that wherever you're at and whatever you're doing, you're cool with that, because that may be your final answer. Okay? Now, let's just stop and think about that. When you close your eyes tonight and you're looking at the ceiling and you think, all is well, it's not. Okay? I'm not putting anything on you. You're putting it on yourself. That's all I'm going to say. And listen, our supporters, we love you. Thank you for everything you do for this show. We can't do it without you. Things are starting to really ramp up. We ask if you're not contributing to the Hagman Report, I'll tell you the truth, unless your church is doing spectacular work, want to consider taking some. Some are. Some do fantastic. Some, I'm not going to say that it's a bad thing to ever speak out like that, but make sure you're getting your money's worth, that you're happy with that. If not, send it to some people that are going to put it to work that know how to save children. We know how to do things. Okay? Our hands are tied in a lot of ways, and financially is most of it. The ones that do support the program, thank God for you. We love you. We pray that the Lord blesses you, and we'll go to the wall for you. Take a bullet for anyone out there, because that's what we do. You know, I am my brother's keeper. Watch Randy Canada.
Randy Taylor, hey, thank you, man.
Right on, brother.
I'll tell you what, folks. It's going to get a lot rougher out there in the days, weeks, and if we have months ahead. Just keep your eyes on things. And as RT Randy Taylor said, hey, watch Canada. There's something really brewing behind the scenes up there. Obviously, the trucker convoy, but something else, perhaps even greater than that. And folks, we need to do something here, you know, RT and I as well. Yeah, I mean, we need to.
There's a variety of options.
Amen to that. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening to this extended broadcast. We do love you. We appreciate all of you. And We will be, you will be in our prayers, and we hope you are in ours, or we are in yours as well. May God bless you. Have a great day.